Hello, my name is Vlad Bogolin and today I'm going to talk about the new MariaDB billbot developed by the MariaDB Foundation. In the first part of the presentation, I will make an overview of our new continuous integration framework, which uses billbot, and then I will talk about the main challenges that occurred during the setup. Let's first define some keywords that I will use in the presentation. By using changes repository, I will refer to the actual source code changes commits that are pushed to the MariaDB server GitHub repository. The build master refers to the main billbot process. In our case, this process runs on a dedicated physical machine. Its job is to look for changes in the repository and schedule builds. A build defines the actual tested configuration. It consists of a sequence of steps that defines a particular configuration. One simple example would be to get the source code, then compile the MariaDB server, and finally run all the MariaDB server's tests. The billbot worker refers to the process that handles the builds. It usually runs on a dedicated worker machine and waits for commands from the billbot master process. Now let's take a look at an overall schematic of our framework. As it comes to the billbot master, we use a multi-master configuration. This means that we have two running master processes. So we have a dedicated master for the user interface and one that deals with looking for changes and scheduling builds. I will give more details behind this decision later. Each time a push is made to the MariaDB server repository, it is detected by the billbot master, which schedules all the builds. Each build defines a different test configuration. We use Docker latent workers, which means that for each build, the master starts a Docker container on a remote machine. The container is configured to run the billbot worker process on startup. This process can now receive instructions from the master. In this way, by using latent workers, there isn't a billbot worker process continuously running on the worker machine. Instead, for each build, a separate container is started. Now let's talk in more detail about each component. We use a multi-master setup where we have a dedicated user interface master. This process only queries the billbot database and shows the appropriate information in the billbot web page. The second master handles all the builds. This means that it looks for changes in the main repository and schedules the appropriate builds for each detected change. Both processes run on the same machine. We have chosen this setup to ensure that the user interface is responsive, independent of the number of running builds. We have experienced some interface delays while using a single master. I will give more details about this later. As it comes to the billbot worker, instead of the classical approach where a billbot worker is always running on a dedicated physical machine, we use Docker latent workers. In this way, the actual billbot worker process runs inside the Docker container. So, the billbot master, which has remote access to various Docker instances running on different machines, builds a Docker image which is specified by a Docker file. Then a Docker container is started. This process is repeated for each build. During the container startup, the billbot worker process is started. The process now connects to the build master. Now the actual build process may begin. When the build process is finished, the Docker container is stopped. In this way, the billbot worker processes are only running when they are needed. Now let's discuss what would be the advantages of such an approach. Firstly, we can define the whole test environment in a Docker file. This makes it very easy to view, deploy, or recreate a particular build environment on any machine. This may help the debugging process a lot, especially when tests fail on a particular environment. By using Docker files, we were able to easily create around 50 different environments for different platforms and operating systems. Secondly, by using this approach, it is very easy to add new physical machines to the infrastructure. Only Docker needs to be installed and remotely accessible. No other configurations on a worker machine are needed. Moreover, since each build starts a new container, you get the immediate advantage of always having a clean environment. Now let's talk about the Docker files. Each Docker file can be split into four parts. First, we select the operating system. This simply involves pulling the correct Docker image from Docker Hub. Next, we install the MariaDB server build dependencies. This is usually the most time-consuming part since there can always be various repository problems or missing packages. This may require a bit of web search in order to solve all the issues. Thirdly, we need to install the BuildBot Worker Python package. Finally, we simply run the BuildBot Worker process to ensure the container connects to the BuildBot master and is ready to start a build. In this way, we can easily define multiple build environments for different platforms and operating systems. You can see here the list of currently supported ones. By also including all the MariaDB server configurations, which includes compiling options, enabling, disabling particular test suites, and others, we obtain around 100 different configurations that we are currently testing. When it comes to the operating systems, please note that it is possible to also run enterprise versions in Docker containers. However, an additional subscription management step is needed, which varies from a distribution to another. Also, I would like to highlight that it is possible to run Windows inside the container. The only limitation is that the host also needs to run Windows. Moreover, we are also running ecosystem tests, where we run, for example, PHB tests against the latest built MariaDB server. We are in the process of adding more ecosystem tests, but you can see here the list of currently supported ones. Now let's talk about the whole MariaDB BuildBot workflow. In the first step, when a new change is detected in the MariaDB server repository, a source tarball creation build is triggered. When this build runs, the code is cloned and the source tarball is created. This tarball will be used by all subsequent builds. Also, now it is time to trigger the bintar builds. Step 3 involves creating bintars. The process begins by fetching the source tarball, compiling the code, and running the tests. In the end, the bintar is saved, and now we can trigger package creation builds and ecosystem builds. In the fourth step, we have two types of builds that may run in parallel. Package creation, where we fetch the source, create the packages, save them, and trigger installation builds, and ecosystem tests. For ecosystem tests, we fetch the latest version of each particular tested framework, configure it to use the current MariaDB version, and run their test suite. In the fifth step, we test to see if the previously created packages can be successfully installed. If the installation is successful, we trigger upgrade tests where we test to see if the latest released version of MariaDB server can be successfully upgraded to the current development version. Now let's talk about some of the challenges that we encountered. One of the first issues that we encountered was a weird case of file mix-up. More exactly, we had missing files or wrong version of a file during compilation, even though the source tarball was correct. To make matters even worse, this only happened from time to time. After various attempts of debugging, we have found out that the issue was caused by a build misconfiguration. The latent workers have a build wait timeout flag, which defines the amount of time a buildbot worker remains active, waiting for new jobs, after a build is finished. So now, instead of stopping the container when the build finishes, it remains active for build wait timeout minutes, waiting for potential new builds. However, as you may have guessed by now, if this happens, then the second job will not start with a clean environment. So the solution to this issue is to either set the flag so that the container is always stopped after each build, or to ensure a proper manual cleanup. Another issue, maybe the most tricky one in terms of debugging, was caused by having the MySQL test run process killed by SigPipe. To give a bit more context, in order to run the MariaDB tests, MySQL test run is used. This is a Perl process that runs all the MariaDB tests and is a required step of almost all our builds. To make matters worse, the issue was not reproducible on consecutive runs of the same build. In the end, after a lot of debugging, we have found a buildbot worker side exception while debugging another problem related to some UTF-8 character parsing error. So, the issue was caused by another buildbot misconfiguration. After specifying UTF-8 as encoding for both the master and worker processes, the issue was solved. While we are not entirely sure why this translated into sending a SigPipe to MySQL test run, it solved the issue and it hasn't reproduced since deploying the fix. One of the most requested features from the developers was the ability to see the last X runs of a given branch in the grid view. However, the default behavior for grid view fetches the last builds independent of the branch and then allows branch filtering only for those builds. Even though X is configurable, this means that if for some branch there were no pushes lately, but there were many pushes to other branches, you have no guarantee that a fixed number of builds will be shown for the desired branch. In order to solve this, we have rewritten most parts of the GridView plugin and made some changes to the data API to ensure that the required data is properly fetched. Another issue was the fact that the interface was starting to be unresponsive, especially after we increased the number of builds. Depending on the number of running builds, most of the interface pages were quite slow. In order to solve this issue, we switched to a multi-master configuration. Now we have a dedicated master process that only handles interface requests. In this way, the response time is constant independent of the number of running builds. We have started noticing that from time to time the build time for multiple runs of the same build varies drastically. We have seen even differences of 1 hour for a build that normally finishes in 20 minutes. So, we have found out that even though the actual step has finished, the master keeps communicating with the worker to get all the build logs. In our case, the log size, especially for MySQL test run, can be quite large, 250k plus lines of logs. When multiple builds are running, this can translate into quite large of quantities of logs into a short amount of time. Since BuildBot can only handle around 10k lines of logs per second, we had to limit the amount of logs. Since the logs are split into several files, we keep only the test results as a BuildBot log and then transfer the other log files manually. We have also customized the build step to show a link to the file location, as it can be seen in this slide. Lastly, we have found out that in some cases there is a huge file transfer time between master and worker. Some of the builds create packages, devs or RPMs, or bintars, which are aggregated centrally on the master machine. So they need to be transferred from the worker to the master. After we made some research, we have found out that it is not recommended to use the BuildBot Data API to transfer large files. So we switched to SSHFS and use remote volumes to make the file transfer. This change has provided a huge decrease in transfer time. This concludes my talk. These are some of the challenges that we encountered, but the complete list is way larger. So if you have any questions, do not hesitate to ask me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vlad, for this nice talk. We have 3 minutes for questions. So you mentioned the ecosystem test, for example. How did you select which parts of the ecosystem you test?
Well, hi, thanks for having me. And for the ecosystem part, we are in an ongoing process of selecting more and more systems, so it's not a definite list. We started with the ones we had more knowledge on and more connections with, but it's not limited to any type of ecosystem, and we are planning on adding more and more.
Also, from what you told about all the problems, etc., it looked like it was kind of an interesting journey. How long did it take until you have been at a state where you said, okay, it's...
Well, the project started before I joined, so it was quite a long journey. I think the beginning of setting the new BuildBot was around 2 years ago or something like that.
And it is just that you when did you finish it? It's already a long, some time ago, or was it just, let's say, the last few months?
It's almost finished. Not 100%, but we're getting there, 90 something.
Okay, good to hear, but it's really an interesting project. So